The first tour I ever went on as a tour photographer, I was like, okay, this is it. Like, let's do this for the rest of my life forever.
You're listening to One More Tune, conversations on live music. My name is Ian Byrne. Welcome to episode 62 of One More Tune, everybody. I am your host, Ian Byrne, and on this month's episode, we have Hannah Judge, aka Fan Club Wallet, on the show to talk about fancy rocks, collectible moments, and being scared of Perez Hilton. Hannah is a 24-year-old multidisciplinary artist. She doesn't just do music. She's a very talented artist in her own right. And until now, she's been proudly DIY in her approach to music. But for her latest EP, Our Bodies Paint Traffic Lines, which was released on March 29th on the label Cool Online, she enlisted the help of three of her close friends who also happen to be her touring band for the creation and inspiration behind the record. She's already supported such established acts as Churches and Dizzy on their North American tours, and she's grown in both confidence and musicianship in a very short space of time, as she discusses on the episode. She's really beginning to find her feet as a performer. She joined me from her home in Ottawa. She's a proud Ottawan. To talk about how the EP was inspired by her beloved van breaking down on tour, how crying in an Airbnb in Alabama provided some song inspiration, why CDs are so close to her heart, and doing the Macarena on stage, amongst tons of other stuff. We had a great old chat. Hannah was very easy to talk to. Really bright future ahead for her. She makes really, really good pop songs. I think she has... There's a song, Car Crash in G Major, which is sitting pretty on 13 million Spotify listens. So that's a good start for her, for someone so young. We've two songs from the new EP to open and close the show today. So we're going to start with Easy, and then we're going to finish with Band Like That. So enjoy those two songs. Please give Hannah a follow. I've linked to all her show or all of her socials in the show notes below, and Spotify and all of that good stuff. While you're at it, please follow One More Tune as well on Spotify or wherever you listen to your podcasts. We're also on Instagram at One More Tune Pod and Twitter as well. And if you want to support the show or on Buy Me a Coffee, anything that is contributed there goes to the running of the show. So any help is greatly appreciated. I'll leave it at that for now. I'll be back with another Groover Digest next week. They're going to be weekly for the foreseeable. And then I'll be back with episode 63 of One More Tune next month. So in the meantime, enjoy the tunes, enjoy the chat. Thank you to Hannah, and I'll see you next time. We'll be right back. How's it going?
Pretty good. How are you?
Also pretty good. A little bit tired this morning, but sure look, nothing to complain about. As you're picking sleep out of your eyes as well.
I know, sorry.
That's all good.
I did a show on Saturday in like Toronto and then
Oh.
drove back and did a show last night. So I'm very tired.
Oh shit. All right. Well, thank you for taking the time today. Where was your show in Toronto?
It was like at a random, we were like a surprise guest at like a random small show with some friends, so.
Oh, cool. So was it like a house show or at a bar or a
No,
venue or?
it was at like this small bar. It was like not directly in Toronto. It was like outside of and like in the GTA somewhere.
Ah, okay. Which is basically Toronto now at this stage anyway. How do you find, I was going, because you're Ottawa, right? Born, bred, raised, a proud Ottawan. Have you got the, because the reason why I ask is like a lot of the Canadian artists I talk to, basically they either have moved to Montreal or Toronto because of bigger markets, or they've moved and then since moved somewhere else. Have you got the urge, or do you feel the need to potentially do a move to one of those yet, or are you happy out in Ottawa?
I have lived in Montreal before, but I moved there for school.
For music, or what did you do in school?
No, I moved there for art, 'cause before I was doing music, I was doing like art and illustration. So I went there for art school, but then I didn't like it.
Wait, you didn't like art school or you didn't like Montreal?
I didn't like art school, and I liked Montreal, but I found it was kind of like everyone is like so cool. It felt kind of like a daily contest. So I couldn't keep up.
You're not interested in competing with the cool kids, huh?
They were too cool for me. I had to go.
Well, then, okay, well, I guess because Ottawa is kind of perfect because it's kind of halfway in between both, so it's a short enough drive, right? So if you need to get that cool kid fix, then you can zip over.
Yeah, exactly. Like we go up to Montreal all the time. We'll like go up that day, come home the same day. It's
Yeah.
like no big deal.
Yeah. And then where was your show last night?
That was at the Rainbow in Ottawa. Great venue. Classic place to be. We played with Advanced Bass, who used to be Cassio Tone for the Painfully Alone. And I'm like a huge fan of his, so that was a good show.
Okay, you're gonna have to educate me here on Ottawa, 'cause I've driven through Ottawa. I've not set foot in Ottawa, so I've no idea about, the scene there. So tell me, what was it like, I know you said you did art before you did music, but talk to me about, growing up in Ottawa from a creative kind of point of view. What was it like for you growing up? And then also now, what's the scene like now?
Growing up in Ottawa, it's kind of funny because like we've got like the downtown core, and then everything else is sort of suburbs. But I was really lucky. I went to an arts high school, and so I ended up going to like a lot of shows in high school because of that. There was this really cool venue called Gaba Hay, and it was in like our city center. And that's where I saw like so many punk bands, and I also saw like Alec G played there and like Nicole Dollinganger. And like lots of really cool bands came and played there. And so that was cool. That was kind of like my introduction to the music scene in high school. Is I'd like on Facebook seeing an event and be like, okay, all my friends, we're going to a punk show. And then when I got older, I actually like made real friends in the scene and started like going to house shows and actually like hanging out with bands. And that was cool because I wasn't making music at that time. I was still just doing art. And I would do like music videos for bands or like show photography or posters. And then eventually, like when I started making music, it was really nice because everyone knew me from like I was like always supporting bands and then they would come out and support me. So the scene here is really nice. It's really like uplifting and everyone just like wants to support each other, which is really cool.
So you kind of snuck in a little bit. You kind of got in doing other things and then decided to pick up a guitar one day and realize, oh shit, I'm good at this.
Yeah, I mean, I had like made music in high school, but I didn't show anybody. I just was always like, oh, all the boys at my high school make music. That's like their thing. And then in college, me and my friends, Etta and Kat, started writing music together. We were like, screw the boys, like we can make music too. And none of us kind of like knew what we were doing, so it wasn't scary, and we all started making music together, and then that was just a lot of fun, and I started making some songs that they were like, these songs are too sad for our like the band. They're not gonna work for the band. So I was like, okay, I'll do like some solo stuff. But yeah, it kind of I was always worried. I was like, oh no, what if everyone feels like I'm just coming out of nowhere? But it worked.
Well, was there a time, or has it switched since? Because you hear all the time about people when they start out making music that it's so freeing because, like you just said, you don't know what you're doing, so you don't know, structures or chord progressions or anything, and then you kind of get more into it, and then you realize, oh, okay, this is what quote unquote how a song is, quote unquote made or whatever. So do you feel that now? Do you kind of now you've made a lot of tracks and you kind of have an idea of what sort of music you want to make? Is it more freeing, less scary now that you have a bit of, whatever structure, or do you still have that like anything goes type of I'm just whatever sounds come out?
I think this is like a similarity between music and art. I think like with art, for example, you have to like learn all the basics and the fundamentals to get good at it. But then I think that you should take everything that you've learned and throw it out the window and unlearn it. 'Cause the second I realized that like I don't have to draw arms like correct and they can bend and be weird, or people can have huge eyes or crazy ears. Art got like a lot easier. I was like, oh, I know how to draw, but you don't have to follow the rules. And things are way more interesting that way. And I don't think that I've gotten quite to that point with music yet. I think I'm still in like the learning phase, which I think can be a little bit less freeing, because you're like, am I doing this right? But I'm excited to eventually unlearn everything I've learned.
Do you think, like you said, you made music in high school, but you didn't show anybody. So when was the first time, like, do you remember the first track that you showed people or that you released and then also what kind of led you to take that step of, okay, I better let somebody else listen to this?
I had like been posting like lo-fi, like electronic, weird, sad music for a really long time on SoundCloud, but like no
Is
one.
all that stuff still there?
Yeah, but it's not like it's all recorded through.
We're not promoting
Yeah, it's all recorded
it.
through like a headphone microphone. I mean, you can listen to it if you want, but whatever.
Do you ever listen back to it, the old stuff?
Sometimes I'll listen to it and I'll be like, that's so cute. It like it is cute. It's nice to listen to and like think about teenage me doing it. But the first time I wrote a song with like actual lyrics, I sent it to Etta and she was like, I'm coming down to Montreal. Like, let's work on this song. And we remade it, and then we started our band, and we remade the song again. And it was such a funny song. It's just called School Sucks. And it's just about me like hating being in university. But yeah, I remember being like, this is a real song, so I'm gonna send this one to
A real song.
Yeah.
Wow, whatever that is. Okay, so then if you were writing all of these too sad for band songs when you were a teenager and you were writing, stuff about hating college, what would you consider your writing about now? Like I read that the EP that's out on the 29th, right?
Yeah, Friday.
Our bodies paint traffic lines. So some of the notes said that a couple of songs are about the trials and tribulations of the music industry. And I know you got some inspiration during touring when your van broke down. So is your art now just reacting to what's around you now, or do you have a bit of a different perspective? Are you like thinking about, inspiration or topics, or is it just literally it's flowing out of you as you're living your life?
I think most of the time, regularly, I'm writing music like kind of like it's like a diary, I guess. But for this EP, it was a little different because it was our first time doing everything as a full band. And that happened because I had had really bad writer's block. And then I was just thinking about like how good everybody else's bands were and how I wanted to be in their bands. And I started writing band like that, which is all about that. And I was like, oh, I can't figure out a chorus. I guess that's it, like song over. But then I was like, hold on, like Nat and Eric and Michael are in the other room. Let's just like see if they can help me finish the song. And it all came together so seamlessly and easily. I was like, oh, this is so awesome. And like we've never written as a full band before. Let's do like a whole EP of this. And I really wanted it to be kind of like a full like art project. So the idea is like this is us as a band and it's like a collectible moment. And I made a comic that's gonna come out with it, with little comics like about being in a band. And I just kind of liked that idea of like a little collectible moment of, this is us as a full band, and all these songs are about what it's like being in a band. And I don't know if I'm gonna write about this again, but like this is what I would think of this one thing, and here it is, like wrapped up with a little bow.
Yeah, a nice little project.
Yeah.
And that did the collaboration come easy to you, or was it like, had you struggled with that yourself? Like, oh, I don't want to involve anybody else. Until, okay, I need to involve other people here, or was it like, hey guys, can you just help me with this thing? And then it just kind of went from there.
Yeah, it was literally just like, oh guys, like I don't know what to do. Like, can you help me? And they were like, yeah, no problem. Usually Michael helps me with stuff. Like, Michael's pretty involved in all the Fan Club Bolt stuff. But yeah, it just was so easy, and I was like, oh, the band I've wanted to be in is like right in front of my eyes. They're right here.
Nice. So you see basically the future collaboration or your future music to be created in that same way now.
I think that it kind of depends on the song. Like some of my stuff, it just like has to be written alone in my bedroom in a really like gross, depressing way. But then I definitely think like for more albums in the future, there's definitely still going to be like a lot of collaboration between me and them. Like Nat is such a good bassist. I'm always like every bass line they do, I'm like, oh my God, I could have like never thought of this. This is amazing. And Eric just brings this like crazy, like I don't know, like U2, but like meets shoegaze guitar thing. And yeah, I don't know how he does that. So yeah, I think it's definitely going to be like a bit of a mix up in the future.
And so Nat is, he's tabbed out bass lines for, is it Rock Hero or Rock Band?
Yes, and it's they them,
Oh, sorry.
but oh, that's okay. But yeah, so Nat is like this amazing rock band player. They're one of the like best drummers, like top 10 drummers or something. And you can watch, they post like rock band videos on YouTube. I can't remember what their YouTube channel is, but it's like, I don't know, it's like insane. And we'll go over there and we'll play Rock Band with them. And they're so good. It's insane. But yeah, so they made some custom charts for these Fan Club Wallet songs, and you can play them in Clone Hero and Rock Band.
But then, how does that work? Does Nat contact Rock Band and say, "Hey," or sorry, Rock it was Rock Guitar Hero, or no, Rock Band, Rock? What is it?
Yeah.
Rock Band.
Yeah, Guitar Hero, Rock Band. Actually, I don't know,
But
but the way it works is like they don't make custom DLC, which is like the songs for the games anymore. But they're for like, I don't totally know, but I know for Clone Hero, you go on, you can like download it.
right, because that's freeware.
Yeah, and you can download it, stuff that like people have made, and it's playable in Rock Band. I don't know how it works,
So
but
basically, if I get Rock Band, I'll be able to play Fan Club Wallet songs on it.
yeah, I think you'd like have to go online and go like into the Clone Hero website or server or something and download it. They're gonna like listen to this and be like, "You idiot, that's not how you do it at all." But
Well, either way, whoever's listening, check out Fan Club Wallet, Guitar Hero, and yeah, play some saucy bass lines.
yeah, if you play it and you get an FC, send it to me. Let me
Wait,
know. Like, I'll be very happy about it.
is that not something super cool? Like, did you ever in your life think that your music would be on a game that people all around the world could play along to?
It's so cool. I was sad because like Rock Band stopped doing the DLC and they just put out like, in the last couple of months they did our friends Gulfer, who are like a really good band from Montreal, and I was like, oh, that's so cool, Gulfer DLC, like I want Fan Club Wallet DLC. But then they stopped releasing DLC for the games, so you know, but Nat's still making it, so we're good.
Good stuff. Good for Nat. Good for
Yeah.
Nat. I want to ask. So, I wanted to go back to the tour where your van broke down, because a couple of the songs were inspired on that tour. Is that right?
Yeah, definitely.
So, a couple of questions on that. First of all, do you find that touring is an inspirational space for you? Do you find that you're able to create in it? And also, if your van had not broken down, what or where do you think the EP direction would have gone without that happening?
Good question. I think touring is definitely an inspirational space. I like being in the car for a long period of time. And I find that it's easiest for me to write lyrics when I'm listening to other people's music, which is random. I'll just like hear a word and I'll be like, oh, that's a good word, and then I can like branch off of it. So touring is great because you're in the car for like 10 hours and I can write a million lyrics in that time. The only problem is I can't like usually write the music part, but it's great for lyrics. But Band Like That was written right before the van broke down. I don't think if the van had not died, it would change that much. Maybe there's like one song on the EP called Complex Weather, which is kind of about, well, I wrote it like the night that the tow truck driver drove away with our van forever.
Never to be seen again.
Never to be seen again. And I was like crying in this random Airbnb in Alabama. And I then me and Michael like started writing this song. So I think maybe that song would not be on the EP, but I think that's like maybe the only one.
So is that a tribute song to the fallen van?
Yeah, I feel like some of the lyrics on this EP, like you could be like, oh, that's a love song, but it's actually like secretly not.
Secret's out now. And I so you just mentioned a couple of things there about, you get inspired listening to other while you're listening to other artists. And it said again in the notes, it said that you studied a lot of Metric and Pinback and Plumtree and Alex G for months, like listening to them and figuring out what makes their songs good and whatnot. So can you just describe what that study look like for you? Are you literally just in your room listening with headphones contemplating, or are you listening to the song over and over trying to pick out each instrument and timing structures and chord and all this stuff? Or what exactly is the study that you do when you're trying to get this inspiration?
Oh yeah. I mean, I'm definitely not smart enough to do like the chord structures or anything, like but I mean, really that's just us buying like tons of CDs and listening to them. Like I own like every Pinback album on CD. And Eric will like put one CD in his car and listen to it over and over and over forever. So like every time he picks me up, I'm like, ah, oh, you're this song again. But those are just some of the bands we were really inspired by, I think. I mean, Pinback is so good. I still have yet to make like a super Pinbacky song, but I think it was, yeah, it was really just like listening to these songs and mostly just being inspired by them and those being like the bands that we pulled the most inspiration from.
So you are just, it's literally just, you're just listening to them over and over, not in any intentional way. You're just letting it kind of happen. And then if a moment sparks you, then you go off and create your own stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, cool. Was there any, do you remember any specific one song or lyric or space where you were listening to anything that really was a big creative spark for you in that moment? And then also, what did you create after that?
I think listening to Fantasies by Metric, there's a song on the EP called Picture of Her, and I remember like writing that chorus and being like, oh, this is so Metric coded. Like this really reminds me of a Metric song. I can't think of like what particular song I was listening to off Fantasies, but that whole thing is like a forever inspo.
Nice. Okay. And I want to bring it back to the start. Can you remember the first show that you went to?
I saw Hilary Duff. I know that was the first show I went to, but I don't remember it because I was like 7. But I do remember going to see Britney Spears. I was out with like my mom's friend Cindy, and we were out for dinner, and the waitress came up to us and was like, "Oh, I have these like tickets to Britney Spears tonight, but I can't go. Like, do you want to buy them?" And she told us how much they were, and Cindy was like, "Oh yeah, we can't, like it's too much money." And she came back and she was like, "Okay, well, you know what? I don't think anyone else is gonna buy them on this shift, so like, do you just want them?" And so Cindy called my mom and was like, "Anna's like 10. Is this like, can she go see a Britney Spears concert? Like, is this appropriate?" And my mom was like, "Yeah, like take her, like go see Britney Spears." And I remember going, and I remember it was the Britney Spears circus tour. And so
Okay, so which circus tour, which era is this? Is this
this was like,
like what's the album or what's the single? Is
I'm,
this like Toxic or Later? Is this it's Britney
I
Bitch?
think it was like Toxic. Let me just double check because I don't want to sound like a fake fan. Yeah, I'll look at like Womanizer, If You Seek
Right,
Amy.
right, right, right. Yeah.
Yeah,
And this is in Ottawa?
and this was in Ottawa. I think when did Toxic come out? I think Toxic came out after that. But actually, no, it didn't. Okay. Anyways, doesn't matter. But yeah, womanizer, et cetera, et cetera. So that was like a really good era. But I remember going and being like super scared because they opened the show with this like really scary video of Perez Hilton. The
My
like,
God, Perez Hilton, throwback.
yeah, the gossip blogger. And he was in like a weird costume and he was like, "Welcome to the circus." And I remember just being like, "Ah, he's so scary. I don't like him." And that's kind of like all I remembered from the show. I remembered it was really good. It was like a whole theatrics. And I got a t-shirt. I still have the t-shirt. And I felt very cool that I got to go to a Britney Spears concert.
Absolutely, and like the way things are going, it doesn't look as if she's going to be doing. She said that she's done with music, so that's a big feather in your cap that you got to see Britney.
Yeah, and I still have the ticket too. Like, I've got it. I've got it all.
Amazing, amazing, good for well, first one that you remember. It's a pretty good one. And then from the point of view of the first time you performed, do you remember when that was?
Yeah, this was like right before the pandemic hit, like literally like 2 weeks.
Good timing.
Yeah, like 2 weeks before. And
So I sorry to interrupt there, but okay, I have to ask. So was the performance like, did you think, okay, this is what I want to do. I'm going to start this. And then Or was it just a one-off, like, I'm going to try this and see what happens? Like, he didn't necessarily think, okay, this is what I want to do. And then COVID hit. And it's like, no.
yeah, no, it was just like a random thing. My friend Sarah from Montreal, she was like, "Oh, our band, The Commendin, is playing in Ottawa. We need an opener. Like, do you know anybody?" And Michael was like, tell her you have a band. Like, let's play a show." And I was like, "We have like four songs." I was like, "We don't, I don't, I've never played live before. Did we even have enough songs to play?" And they were like, yeah, like we'll figure it out, we'll figure it out." And I was like, "It's in a week." And they were like, yeah, like just do it, just do it." And I was like, "Okay, Sarah, I have a band, like let's play." And I remember being so anxious, like I wanted to throw up. But it went really well. Like my family came, a lot of my friends came. And it was just chill. It was just like in this little venue in Ottawa called Prest, which isn't there anymore. RIP Prest. It was great. But I'm really happy I got to play there because it shut down during the pandemic and I had always wanted to play there. So I managed to check that off my list. But yeah, it went really well. And I was like, oh, that was fun. Yeah, like we'll do this again. But the thing that the pandemic really shut down was I was supposed to go on tour as a tour photographer for Michael's old band. And they had to cancel that tour, and I was more upset about not going, being able to go on tour as a tour photographer than like not being able to do shows at first.
Wow, so that's an interesting kind of coming together of everything there, because again, say if you had said no, we're not, I'm not ready, I don't want to do it, and you didn't play that show right before the pandemic, maybe, do you ever think about that? Like, thank God I played that show, because if I didn't, I wouldn't have had that experience. I wouldn't have known that feeling. And then for the whatever year, 2 years, the pandemic closed everything. You wouldn't have had those memories going into COVID. So coming out of it, you might not have kept going. Is that something that you think about?
I think I was definitely glad to have done it because it made it way less scary to do it
Exactly,
again.
yeah.
Over the pandemic, we did a lot of those live concerts, like
Oh,
over,
the live stream stuff, yeah.
yeah, like Twitch or whatever.
Oh, that's actually super interesting. So you got a little feel for interesting, okay.
But yeah, I was kind of happy that. I mean, like, not happy that the pandemic happened, but it was good that I was able to use that time to get better at playing and learn more about technical stuff. Like, Michael's been doing it since they were like 13. So they know how to set everything up. And we were kind of able to figure out a live set, live situation, and do it, yeah, over those videos and stuff like that. And then when things started to open up again, I wasn't quite as nervous as I think I would have been if we hadn't played that first show.
So interesting, all of the different facets and ways that COVID and everything around it has shaped artists, and it's wild. And
Yeah.
so what is everything that you learned then, like your live setup, how you structure it, is that the same now, or have you changed your what you have on stage and the live stuff?
I mean, it's definitely different because at the beginning it was just me and Michael and we were doing like a duo set, but now now it's like the full band, but a lot of the stuff stays the same. Like we use the same vocal processors and it's like all the same gear, so yeah, I think a lot has stayed the same, which is kind of nice. I haven't had to like learn too much new stuff.
Do you like that? Are you a fan of just, simplicity?
Yeah, for sure. Like when I like being the band that when we show up on tour and we have to sound check, the sound guy's like, "Oh, you guys are so easy to sound check." I'm like, "Yeah, we were." Hee like
Okay, but then let's fast forward 5 years when Fan Club Walla has blown up and you have, a production budget, and you might be able to get some sponsorships from da, 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 da. So is there anything that you see your future stage? Are you gonna have Perez Hilton do an intro video? Is there gonna be all this pyro and stuff, or do you ever fantasize or dream about what a bigger or a future stage production would be? Any particular gear that you dream about or anything?
I think I would always want things to be as easy as possible for the people putting on the show. I like to keep things like pretty self-contained. But I do think that having more like stage design would be cool. We did a couple shows with I bought like 100 Garfield plushies. And we brought those with us and we covered the stage and like all these Garfields. And it looked so cool. But it's kind of we don't have enough space to bring like 100 Garfields with us, on tour. But I've also been making like a lot of animations lately, so I think it would be cool to incorporate more visuals into the live shows and definitely like bring some stuff to set up on stage. I'm not like a huge I wish I was better at the whole stage setup thing, but I kind of like taking it slowly. I feel like I just got comfortable with like dancing around on stage. So this is maybe the next step is making things look a little bit cooler, but yeah, I would never want to do like something crazy where the whole venue is like moaning and groaning,
Oh, not Fan Club Wallet again, these.
Yeah.
On the visual stuff there, so you're obviously a multidisciplinary artist. Do you, as you're creating the songs, or at any stage of the music creation or performing process, what part of your mind does switch over or think about, like, oh, this song is kind of evoking these images in my mind, I might want to create, visuals to support this song? Or does it happen vice versa? Do you have some doodles or whatever that you make, and then a song idea comes from that? Or is it just kind of all part of the soup?
I think it's mostly all part of the soup, but I do think like usually as soon as I make a song, I kind of know like what visuals I want to go along with it. And even like listening to other people's music, like my friend's music, I'm like, oh, we should make a video like this for this. Like I just have to hear like a chorus and I'm like, I've got it, guys. Like let's do a music video. But I think a little bit on the I put out a little lo-fi EP in October, and I had done a lot of drawing and animation around that time, and I think those things went really hand in hand. Maybe some of the art like came before the songs for that.
Cool. And This might be a bit of an obvious question, but do you design all your own merch?
I actually don't because I am friends with so many amazing artists that I would much rather pay them to come up with something I would have never thought of than like make my own stuff. Wait, I definitely do like a lot of art for the project, but having the privilege to like be able to pay people for artwork, I'm like I gotta pay my friends because they make such cool stuff. Like, I want to give them money to make cool stuff.
Yeah, good on you. Do you want to give them a few shout outs there? Some friends who've created some stuff for you?
Yeah, I mean, my friend Etta has made a lot of she designed like the whole Fank the Wallet website. Saya Files on Instagram did the OG Fan Club Wallet like car crash t-shirt, which is still like some of my favorite stuff. Connor Willemsen, who's this super amazing graphic novelist, he did a design for our last t-shirt that's so cool. It's like a person wrapped up in all these crazy cables holding a guitar. Definitely, like there's so many more artists we've worked with that I feel that I can't like remember right now, but
No, that's
yeah.
awesome. So you've involved the community. That's good. Good on you. Sharing the love. Playing live. What does it mean to you playing live? Do you try to, do you set out with a goal in mind? Are you trying to create a story or an emotion or a connection, or are you literally just trying to, serve yourself, serve the audience, serve the music, have a good time?
That's a good question. I love playing live. I think lately I have been better at connecting with the audience. I used to not be able to like look at them, which is a problem. But the last like year of shows have been really fun. I've been able to sort of dance around and feel like I'm talking more directly to the audience. I think I just hope that people hear the songs and feel like they can relate to something. However they want to relate doesn't really matter to me, but it feels nice too. Like a lot of those older songs are about really strong emotions I had, and it just feels nice to be able to like get that out in a healthy way on stage.
Was there a show for you where it switched, the feeling more comfortable on stage, being able to look people in the eye and engage with them? Or was it a kind of a gradual thing?
I think it was pretty gradual, but I think we did like this huge tour with churches a while ago.
Oh, wow, okay.
And after that, I was like, okay, I know how to play the guitar now, like, and I know how to sing and play, and I can walk around on stage. And we did these shows with Dizzy in October, and those were the ones where I was like, okay, we're really rocking up there now. Like, I don't feel so much like an imposter anymore. I'm like actually a musician. Let's do this thing.
Cool, very good. And so, you've mentioned two pretty big successful bands there. When you're on tour with these guys, or even just any shows that you've gone to, are you like avidly studying what's going on, paying attention to their musicianship, their stage performance, all this stuff, taking stuff in for yourself, studying, making notes, or are you just trying to enjoy yourself and not overthink it?
I think I definitely like watch what they do on stage and watch how they interact with the audience and kind of like take a mental note of that. And I do that too by going on YouTube and looking at live performances of some of my favorite bands and seeing how they sort of make it an interactive experience for the audience. But a lot of it's just me also like enjoying the concert. But yeah, I feel like I've definitely learned a lot from the people that we've gone on tour with.
So is there like can you pinpoint one specific thing, for example, that you remember seeing and thinking, oh, okay, That's good. I'm going to incorporate that.
Oh, that's a really good question. I can't, you know what? I can't even like remember who did this, but when I go on stage, I do the Macarena. And I remember, like, wow, I can't even remember what show this was, but I know we saw a show and the band did like a dance and was like getting everyone else to do the dance. And I was like, okay, that's awesome. Like, I should do that too.
So is the Macarena playing in the background, or are you, is it like a
No,
silent Macarena?
it's like there's like an instrumental break in one of the songs. So I do the Macarena during that time and try to get everyone else to do it with me.
Crowd participation, love it. And so what is a, you know, what does a good show look like for you, and then also a bad show?
A good show, people are moving in the audience, people, you know, doing the when Nat does the clap thing, they're doing the clap thing. You know, people talking to me after the show is a good show, but
Do you like that? Do you like sticking by the merch table after talking?
yeah, I always go right after the show to the merch table. And I love talking to people. So if you're like listening to this and you want to talk to me, please talk to me. But yeah, just feeling like people aren't like looking at me like I hate this. But you know, sometimes a good show though is just if I felt like we played really well and I'm really happy with, you know, how good we sounded. But I think that we always sound good or better when the audience seems to be having a good time.
And have you, you know, have you learned any tricks or to, you know, maybe if the audience is a bit, let's say, stale at the start, can you pick up on that and realize, okay, we need to do this here to try and get them awake or get them more involved? Like, have you learned stagecraft stuff?
I like to talk to people like we're all hanging out. Like we're all just here. We're like this is my house. We're all chilling. So yeah.
So you like to set that, do you set that tone ahead of like do you engage with them like, hey guys, we're all just hanging out together, or you just kind of let that kind of try to flow?
Yeah, I mean I don't know how this started happening, but like every show we play, I'm like, hey everybody, happy Wednesday or like happy Thursday or what, you know, whatever day it is. Whenever we're in like a new city, I'm like, hey audience, like what's the best place to do this? Or, you know, where should we get dinner after this? Like asking questions. You know, I think once I asked like okay, like raise of hands, Blur, raise of hands, Oasis. Just like asking funny questions to try to feel like get people feel like they're involved before the show even starts.
But so did you literally go from, you know, not doing any of that, not looking anybody in the eye, playing the songs, to then opening up straight away, or was it like a little piece by piece by piece?
I think it's definitely more piece by piece. Probably the first like couple shows they probably said like nothing. But I'm like kind of silly, so I've kind of always said stuff on stage. I just think that I'm a little bit more like captivating and less awkward now.
Yeah, because you're growing into yourself on stage, right? Do you speak quite positively about touring? You're a fan of touring. You like it. You like the experience.
Yeah, I love touring. I think if I would love to just do it forever. I mean, even when the first tour I ever went on as a tour photographer, I was like, okay, this is it. Like, let's do this for the rest of my life forever. I think it's hard because, like, I don't think my body's really built for touring. But any, like, I've just like managed to come up with ways to combat that. So I'm hoping that just keeps working.
Such as.
I just like we don't go out and drink after we have fun on tour. This is gonna make me like sound like we don't have any fun, but we do. But I just it's really important like we get enough sleep. I'll do stops to get like face masks or just like things to feel refreshed. I always sit in the front seat. Sorry to the rest of the band. That's my seat. Like bringing heating pads on tour, just like little like self-care things. And like if I wake up one day and I'm like, I literally cannot lift anything. The band is really great and they like understand that, and they don't have a problem like helping me out if I'm having like a rough day.
Yeah, good. Describe a typical day on tour, you know. So you wake up in the morning, you have to get to the venue, load in, sound check, like, you know, give me blow by blow, regular old day on tour.
I wake up, Nat is snoring so loud. I'm like, Nat, we have to leave. They're like, 5 more minutes. And they do that for about an hour until we leave. Everyone else goes to breakfast. I have a shower, pack up, load into the van, listen to like 10 CDs because it's probably like a 10-hour drive. It's a lot of like, I mean, it's a lot of time spent in the van. That's kind of it. But it's nice because I love my friends. So it's just a lot of like silly banter. I try to make an effort that like we stop at a cool restaurant or like breakfast place. Like we usually go to breakfast, which is important to me. I love going to like breakfast places everywhere we go because they're all different and like there's always like funny cool characters there.
So is breakfast your favorite meal of the day, or like just that environment is your favorite?
Yeah, I think so.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah, I love
So
breakfast.
where is some of the best breakfast places around?
I really like City Diner in Washington, D.C.
Wow, that was a quick answer. Okay. City
Yeah.
Diner.
We love City
Why?
D Diner. It's one of those places that like sells everything. And you're like, this is insane. Like, why do they have steak and like Thai food on the menu? But they've got those like really good, like coated breaded fries. Like they're just, I don't know, it's like a sleeper hit. Like you'd be like, oh, that place looks terrible, but then it's actually awesome.
They're always the best, yeah. Okay, all right. So you lovely breakfast in you now. You're close to the venue. Venue, what's going on in the venue?
We're pretty like, I think we want to be like as efficient as possible. So, like load out, get everything set up, sound check, get that done quickly, and then we can go get food. Again, like food.
There's a theme here.
Yeah. But I think, yeah, just like an efficient load out and set up. And then yeah, we don't usually like hang around the venue before the show starts. We usually go try to find somewhere cool to go. Or a big theme of touring is like I always make us stop at a record store to pick up more CDs. I don't know if that will continue in the future because the van died, but if we get another van that only has a CD player, we will certainly be buying more CDs.
Because I was going to ask why the CD format was so dear to you, but it was literally just a function of the fact that the van had a CD player. You're not a big fan of the format. It's just means to an end type of thing.
I was definitely like a fan of CDs before, but having the van was amazing for that because
Yeah.
we only took CDs. It was like the only thing we had. So now I have this like massive collection, and even though we don't have the van anymore, I still buy CDs. And Michael's car is like a 2002 Honda Civic, so we're still listening to the CDs in there. But yeah, on tour, we would stop in like every city and go to a CD, a place that sells CDs. So that's definitely a big part of the day.
Cool. Okay. And then talk to me about the 15 minutes before you're getting on stage. What's happening?
Goofing off in the green room, we should be doing vocal warm-ups. I don't do that. Literally just like goofing around until the exact second we go up there. Sometimes a costume change. Maybe we're putting on cooler outfits than the pajamas I was wearing earlier in the day. Listening to music, even in the green room. We usually do like a little like band huddle too. Nothing crazy, just like, all right, let's go. I get really nervous though, so I can't like think about it too much. I'm just like, I'm not here. And then we go up. And then as soon as I'm up there, I'm fine. Like, I'm not nervous.
Okay, and then thank you, Washington. We've been fan club. Good night. What's the 15 minutes after you get off stage like? What's going on? What's the energy? What do you guys talk about the show, or again, is it just something different?
Yeah, we definitely go. We're like, what did you guys think of that? Like, what parts were good? Who messed up? And then we'll either like watch the headlining band or just like chill in the green room. And then again, like quick loadout into the van. Let's go get A&W and let's go to bed. We watch a lot of movies too on tour. I don't know how we do that. But we love watching like the Well, we'll stay up like later than we're supposed to if we're at like a hotel. Like we watched High Fidelity recently, and
Ah, great one.
Chasing Amy was on TV, which is like random. Spider-Man is always on TV too.
Fair enough, fair enough. And then what about, I was going to ask, you played the Toronto show and then the Ottawa show straight after. Is there a big difference in crowds? Is a Toronto crowd very different to an Ottawa crowd? And are Canadian crowds very different to American crowds, or not?
That's a good question. We haven't played enough in Canada for me to have like a good census to pull from. Like we've only played Montreal, Toronto, Ottawa, and then like a couple other like Ontario towns. But like Toronto, I feel like we do really well in Ottawa. Montreal, they don't like us over there. I don't know why.
Why do you say
It just like never goes well, and I always get like a random website review in French that's like, I didn't get it. Like I didn't like a random like blog review. So I don't. This happened to me in art school too. Like they didn't get me. Like I would like make comics and cartoons. I just don't think they like. I think they don't think I'm funny. Which is okay. That's fine though. I still love Montreal. I like to go see shows there. I don't need to. If they don't want to see me, that's okay. Toronto's okay too. It's kind of, I feel like it's shows in Toronto are hard. This is for headlining. Obviously, like when we go with bigger bands, Toronto's awesome. But fans in Canada are really nice though. And I love like talking to Canadian fans because there's like stuff Canadian stuff to bond over, I guess. But people give us more gifts in the US. Like, I have received gifts, which is cool. That hasn't happened to me in Canada. I don't know. But
Here we go, Canadians, step up your gift game.
I
What,
know.
any good gifts? Any like anything that stands out? Anything you remember?
Someone made me like a beautiful necklace. And also like I got a bag of what, not like rocks, but like, like
Gems?
gems. I don't know, like yeah, like fancy.
Moonstones?
Yeah, fancy rocks. And that was cool, like they're in my bathroom. I keep them in the shower. I like fan club wallet bracelets too. Just like, I don't know, gifts. It's cool. I like playing in the States. And more, I think more people talk to us too. Like at
Well,
the
it's funny, I think you're, I'm not, I'm Irish, so when I moved to Canada and started going to shows, when I moved to Toronto, started going to shows, I was like, what the fuck is going on here? Why are these people so, like, just non-interested in what's going on stage. Everybody's like, it's almost like they're too cool for to make fun of themselves or to let loose or something.
It's a bit serious. Like a lot of like standing with your arms crossed. And
But
it's weird.
not in Ottawa?
No, not in Ottawa. Yeah,
Yeah,
this
so
is
Torontonians, huh?
because like when I don't know, Toronto and Montreal, it's both like that. Like it's a bit like too cool for school. But I don't want to sound like a hater. Like not
No,
everyone's
no,
like
no, no,
that.
no. No, yeah, exactly, yeah.
But that is actually that's a bad show. If everyone's acting too cool for school, I'm like, go home.
Show's over.
Yeah, like get out of here. But in the States, it's a lot less like that. So that's cool.
Interesting. Okay, Hannah, thank you so much for your time today. This has been a wonderful chat for me. I always finish the show with an impossible question, and I don't want you to think about it too much, just whatever kind of crops up in your mind in the mood that you're in today. But it's the last show you're ever going to go see. What's the venue, the main, and the two supports?
Okay, last show I'm ever gonna go see. They've reopened Gabahay in Ottawa. And it's Hopalong, Modest Mouse, and the 1975.
Oh wow. Okay. So in that order, 1975 headlining, Modest Mouse middle.
Probably Modest Mouse headlining. And then Hopalong, and I'm making the 1975 open.
Oh.
They're getting forced to open. They have big enough heads. They're gonna open.
Exactly. Okay, all right. And the EP, Our Bodies, Paint Traffic Lines, is out March 29th. Is there anything else going on? You have the little fanzine that's coming with it. Are there any shows lined up? Anything else going on for the rest of the year?
We're making some CDs. We're gonna have some zines. Hopefully we do some shows around it. And I'll definitely just be like interacting online more. We're gonna stream on Twitch. We're gonna play the EP on Rock Band. So you can watch me, fan club wallet on Twitch doing that. And yeah, just like fun, some fun interactive stuff.